Spirit Guide Underground, October 23, 2008.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter Franzen, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. Boy, I hope you guys aren't disappointed with the show today. Isn't that a great way for me to just start things out, but a very positive note to start on? But you might notice that I've released the podcast a little bit early this week. It's because I got some stuff that I've got to do that in the time frame that I normally do the podcast, so I had to do this early. And I was scrambling and looking around. I'm like, oh, crap, do I have a show this week? Do I have material? And I realized, no, I have no material. I have nothing. Well, I don't have nothing. I've got something, but it's not much more than nothing. Anyway, okay, first I'll tell you what's coming up, but first off, let's give you some updates.
Update information.
All right, after about 2 or 3 days of kind of phone calls back and forth and a little bit of frustration on my part with the CD manufacturers, we're on track, and my CD release party for Dark Ritual is here at my home on November 2nd. What was I going to say? Totally awesome. Oh, yeah. And so I told them that I'd like the CDs to be here by that time, and there had been some delays and goof-ups on their part. There had been about 2 or 3 goof-ups in a row, so it was, you know, pretty much 3 strikes throughout, a little bit frustrating. But they do good work, but we did last time have trouble with them kind of being behind, and at this point in the process, you know, really, you know, I guess the second time around with the same company, I'll still probably use them next time, but I've just not learned my lesson. I got to stay on top of them to keep them on task. I won't mention their name. But anyway, because you could probably see it on the printed label, huh? they do excellent work, but it's just a little bit things get kind of wonky at the end here. Anyway, so that's basically it. I mean, it's kind of out of my hands at this point, but the CDs should be arriving late next week, and as soon as I have them, if I've got a good amount of the day in front of me, I will get the website up. I'll just hit the go button, and we will begin selling them, so you will know as soon as they are here. In all likelihood, I will not be selling them until Monday the 3rd. Monday the 3rd of November is when they will probably be on sale, unless they come early. We'll see. I have no idea at this point. But I would think at the latest, Monday the 3rd of November is when they'll be coming. Not a pre-Halloween release as I had hoped, but there you have it. Okay, so what's going on the show today? Well, I don't have any kind of cool geeky stuff other than me. I am a huge geek, and that's all I really have for you. We're going to jump into Pater's Brain as the main feature this week, and I'm going to rant a little bit. And then I'm going to share with you a recording that I made. This will be kind of fun for you guys, especially fans of Spirit Blade or just fans of gross, weird stories. I was recording my little cheap tape recorder rehearsal sessions with Michael Tully. That's the actor that plays Ran in Spirit Blade and in Spirit Blade Dark Ritual. And so we happened to catch me talking about this Boyle incident that I had when he and I were both in college. And it's a little bit graphic. And it displays just what a real big weenie I am, but hopefully you guys will enjoy that. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Here we go.
Primary feature.
Inside Plater Brain.
Activate.
Okay, I was apparently in kind of like a ranting mood this week because I ranted twice, once on Peter's Brain and once on the Spirit Blade weblog. First off, okay, on Monday's episode of Heroes, which the season is, you know, taking the turn for the better, I think, because they've taken away what's-his-dude, Peter Petrelli's powers, and I'm just so sick of Peter Petrelli, so I just want him to be, to lose his powers and be off to the side. I'm just tired of him. Anyway, on Monday's episode of Heroes, Matt Parkman strayed from the likable everyman that I love him for so much to cookie-cutter spiritual guru, or at least his writers did. While trying to convince the speedster chick, I can't remember her name, that she needed his help, he said, "Forget your thoughts. What is your heart telling you to do?" Ugh. How many times do we all need to hear this slogan before we actually realize how insanely stupid it is? I mean, it sounds really nice and it feels right, doesn't it? Well, of course it feels right to follow my heart. If following my heart means suspending rational thinking, the only thing left is emotion. So what does that leave you with? Do what feels good, right? But how can this be universally good advice when some people feel good about shooting their parents or beating up their wives? I mean, we hear this idea all over the place. We heard it in Iron Man. I read it in comic books all the time. Just put a little red flag in your head and listen for the phrase "follow your heart" or some iteration of that phrase. You will be amazed at how often it shows up in popular culture, whether it be celebrities or people on TV or in fictional contexts like comic books, novels, movies, TV. Just listen for it. You'll be amazed how often it shows up. If we break this statement down, it means do what gives you immediately pleasurable emotions or experiences, right? Follow your heart. Do what immediately gives you pleasurable emotions and experiences. How can any marriage last given that philosophy? How can anyone be disciplined in anything following that kind of advice? Is following my heart good when my heart wants to be selfish and think of me first? Because that's what my heart wants. You know, we use this slogan because it feels good. And when writers are telling a story, they want their audience to enjoy it and feel good. I'm a writer. I understand that too. But we can't take this philosophy and apply it to life. Now, don't get me wrong. We shouldn't abuse and neglect ourselves. But to place follow your heart above rational, careful, and reasoned decision-making, even when you aren't sure what to do, is a solid way to screw up your life. You know, follow my heart. Well, my heart tells me that I almost said follow my fart there, didn't I? Sorry. Okay, little moment off. Okay, now we're serious again. We're serious. Okay, if my heart tells me that I should go off and be a superstar singer or go be an actor or something like that, but I'm not a good actor, and, you know, I'm only listening to my mother and my best friends who say, "Oh, sweetie, you're such a great actor," or, "Oh, sweetie, you're such a good painter," or whatever. You know, I think so many people follow their hearts, you know, or if you're in a relationship and you feel like you're having a bad time working through issues with your spouse, and then you just feel compelled. There's this other woman, and your heart is telling you that she's really the one, that, oh, you made a mistake, and this other woman is your soulmate. Come on. Come on. Let's really analyze this idea of follow your heart and recognize how stupid and destructive this idea is. Okay, so I got this idea off of a TV show, right? Well, that segues right into my next little bit that I put up on the Spirit Blade Underground weblog. I titled the little article I wrote, "Thank Goodness for Celebrities." I am so grateful that we have celebrities. Without them, I'm not sure I'd ever know what it means to be cool. I would have no idea what it means to be successful in life or what beautiful is. I would be completely adrift without their spiritual guidance. It's so good to know that if I think how they think and do what they do, I can have a life as wonderful as theirs so obviously is. You know, I remember thinking just before graduating from high school that I might never know how to be cool again. I would probably never see the cool, popular kids from my high school for the rest of my life. You know, how will I know how to dress? How will I know the latest slang? How will I know what to believe? Well, luckily, let me tell you guys, with talk shows and Hollywood celebrities to help us, because they're here to help us, we can all behave just like we did in high school and pursue being cool and trendy at the very small expense of individual thought. Oh, remember my spirit. Oh, what a great idea. Follow my heart. Oh, thank you, Oprah. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to something else. How about a bloody boil on my butt?
Isn't it you who had that really bad boil?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, did I tell you about that?
Yeah, I remember when it happened. You told it. You told us.
I didn't show
it.
You did.
No, I don't think so. You told us.
It was like right on the top of my butt crack. And Corinne, in fact, this just came up with my sister. I don't know why, like just a few days ago. But yeah, she was like calling me a big weenie. But oh my gosh, I went blind. I mean, it
when
was.
Did he land?
Well, I was sitting on the toilet and. And this is going to be on the website sometime. But I was sitting...
Are you recording?
But I was sitting on the toilet, and this thing was throbbing and stuff like that, and I was getting ready to get in the bath.
Did you know it was there?
Yeah. Uh-oh. I called, like, urgent care, and I was like, I kept this thing on my butts right at the base of my tailbone, and it's really throbbing. I mean, I was up the night before asking God to kill me. I mean, it was bad.
Why didn't you just lance it yourself?
I didn't know. I was a weenie, I guess. I was scared. Yeah. I didn't know you were supposed to do that or whatever.
Right.
So I called her and
how big was it?
I'm trying to think. It was probably about...
A thumb?
Probably not as big as a thumb. Maybe about as big as, like, the top of the top joint of the index finger.
Right.
But it was in a bad place, man.
That's awesome.
And so I was in the bathroom on the toilet, you know, taking a crap before I was going to get in the bath. I was drawing a bath at the same time. And then as I was going to the bathroom, I looked down in the toilet, and there was this cloud of blood just growing inside the bowl. And I was like, I had this nightmare that, like, it seems like I'd seen in a movie or something when somebody had, like, pushed so hard that, like, their guts came out of their intestines.
Well, it's like that movie we saw, Dreamcatcher. Remember where the thing was in the toilet and jumped up that dude? And then
I don't remember that.
Oh.
Holy crap. But yeah, I thought, oh my gosh, I pushed too hard, my intestines fell out, and I'm going to die, you know. Just all this, I mean, when you see blood flying over the toilet, that's scary. So I, like, got up, and I don't even remember if I wiped myself or not, but I just got up, and, someone had gone to get Advil or ibuprofen or something like that. Mom had gone to get ibuprofen, and I came out of the doorway, creaked, you know, just peeked around the corner, and I was like, Corinne, you know, and I pulled out my pants by this time. And then my, you know, younger sister, Corinne, was there. And I said, Corinne, and she's like, are you okay? You want some help? And I said, I can't see. Can you lead me to the piano bench?
So why the piano bench?
Because it was the nearest thing that I could, like, I don't know. I lost my mind. So she came over, and she was helping me over, and I didn't even make it to the piano bench. I said, okay, I'm just going to stop here. And I just laid down on the floor close to the piano bench. And then Mom came in, and I got the Motrin IV, and I said, we're way past Motrin, Mom. And so my dad took me to urgent care. I was perched on one buttock the whole time, and I got in there, and, you know, and they said, well, we got two options. You know, one is to just lance it, and
well, wasn't it already done being lanced? Cause
it had opened up a little bit.
Oh.
And then the other option was to put numbing stuff on it first. And I was like, why would I not take the numbing stuff? He said, well, it's already opened up, and so the numbing stuff would probably just sting quite a bit, you know, and there'd just be some extra pain beforehand, you know, and it might not help. You know? I'm like, oh, crap. I said, well, all right, I guess just cut it open, you know. And so he gives me this, rolls up this gauze, and he says, here you go. I said, what do I do with this? Bite down on it. So I was like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? So he had me, you know, roll over, and, you know, I had this gauze in my mouth, and he said, all right, I'm going to count down from 10, and then we're going to cut it. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he cut it. And then
was your dad in there too?
I don't remember if he was or not.
Man.
And then I felt this really pulsing pain. I was like, oh, what are you doing? And he's like, it looks like he's, like, you know, kneading bread back there. He's like, oh, I gotta squeeze the pus out.
So there's like pus and
it was bad. And then of course I felt like even a bigger weenie at the end when he was like, well, you were a real trooper, good job. Like, ah, crap. When someone calls you a trooper, you know you've been a weenie.
That's funny.
Oh man. All right, now it's recorded for posterity.
Every word of God proves true. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
We're searching for truth in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Why doesn't God do something when terrorists are bombing, murderers are killing, and child molesters are raping, right? There isn't a quick, easy answer to this question, but we can at least say that God will do something. The scales will be balanced, and there will be accountability and appropriate punishment. Every sin, every thought or action that falls short of perfection will be accounted for. You might be thinking this is bad news for the human race, and you're right. In our natural state, none of us are fit for heaven. Heaven is a perfect place, and it lasts forever, so you know what? It better be perfect. If it was anything less than perfect, it would only be a matter of time before we hurt each other and bring pain and selfishness back into our lives and the lives of everyone else. For heaven to be heaven, it has to be nothing less than perfect. It has to be filled with perfect, nothing but perfect people and ruled by a perfect God, and we simply aren't qualified to live there. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 12, and 23. Romans 3, then check out verses 10, 12, and 23 in that chapter. But you know, if we choose to know God, we become qualified, not because we earned it by our faith, but because God changes us in response to our faith, because he loves us. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. It is a gift that he's given us. Look at Romans 6, 23. Boy, we probably ought to look at Romans sometime, huh? We'll get to it. But is it really our choice to know God or not? What about the guy in the deep jungles of Africa? Will God condemn him for his ignorance? Is that what verse 8 of this chapter in 2 Thessalonians means? According to the Bible, everyone has knowledge of God on some level at some time in their lives. However, we can make the choice to ignore that knowledge and replace it with lies, believing what's comfortable or whatever we want to believe instead of pursuing the truth, right? Follow your heart. That's where following our heart leads us, is to lies. Look at Romans chapter 1, 18 through 25. Really, I know we will eventually get to Romans, but I want to encourage you guys, check out the book of Romans. There's just some really great nuggets in there, and it can be complex. You won't catch it all the first time through. There's guys all over the world that have been studying this book their whole lives, and we're still missing stuff. But just on a simple read-through, there's incredible truth in the book of Romans. So, but check out Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. So everyone knows enough to either pursue knowing God or to ignore him. And because of this fact of the universe, all who choose not to know God will have their choice respected even by God himself. But the consequences are more severe than we can imagine. Verse 8 says that those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus will pay the penalty of, quote, eternal destruction. To the casual reader, this may seem harsh, but I believe that's because we don't really understand the worth of God. To even begin to understand this, we have to run kind of a self-diagnostic and repair our thinking a little bit, because our thinking, as it naturally is kind of broken. If we think about this, if we execute a serial murderer, our reaction may not be very strong. Now, debates over the death penalty aside, but it might not be very strong compared to if someone kills a Mother Teresa. You know, if a Mother Teresa gets killed, we are outraged. You know, it doesn't seem right for bad things to happen to good people, and I put good in quotes. But God is perfect. Think about that. Perfect. To us, perfect is just an idea. It's something to aspire to, but we really don't know what perfect is, because we've never experienced anything that is truly perfect. We can say that, oh, our love was perfect and stuff like that, and it sounds nice, but I mean, really stop and think about it logically. Perfect, without flaw whatsoever, cannot get any better. That's perfect. There's no potential in our wildest imaginings or the wildest possibilities of it being any better, because it is perfect. But God is perfect. Truly perfect. He couldn't be any better by any stretch of our wildest imaginings. God is absolutely perfect. His worth is infinite. So when God is treated badly, you know, we get upset when Mother Teresa is treated badly. And Mother Teresa, obviously, she's passed away. Mother Teresa is a metaphor, obviously. So you know, if we get upset when a Mother Teresa is treated badly, think about this. When God is treated badly in any way, it is an evil beyond what we can comprehend. Choosing to ignore God, the maker and sustainer of every moment we can call good, is the ultimate evil. Choosing to ignore the sacrifice that Jesus made, when Jesus' worth is absolutely infinite, and just say, you know what, I don't need that. I'm fine on my own. You know, I don't need that. It's not that important. that Jesus died, and it wasn't all that valuable. It wasn't necessary for me, you know. That is the ultimate form of evil, because we're throwing away the ultimate worth in all of existence. And that form of evil, along with all others that rank beneath it, will be punished and dealt with by God. And because this kind of evil is immeasurable, the punishment will be also lasting forever. Now, I'm going to admit to you guys, I mean, it doesn't give me any pleasure to... I'm not a fire and brimstone kind of guy, and it doesn't give me any pleasure to think about people, even horrible people, in hell. This is not happy stuff to think about. It would be much more pleasant to ignore this part of the Bible, but you know what? If we did, it would misrepresent the perfection and justice of God. If we ignore this, we ultimately have to devalue His incredible, mind-boggling love. Because God knows we're broken, and He knows we run from Him at every opportunity. But if we choose to know Him, He will fix us, and ultimately He'll make us perfect like Him. Now, in verse 10, we see that that Jesus will be glorified in His saints, and I want to stop and point out that that word means everyone who is being set apart for Him. So all believers, all those who trust in Christ, are saints. It's not just a list composed by an organized religion or a church. Jesus will be glorified in His saints when He returns. The people that have chosen to know God will be examples to the universe of God's amazing forgiveness, love, and ability to make broken things perfect like He is. Now, as a side note, when you look at verse 11, go back and check out what we said about that, about verse 5 last week. When you look at verse 11, be sure to look at the notes from last week relating to verse 5. Okay, moving on. When Jesus finally makes us perfect, we will be, quote, glorified along with Him. Now, the Greek word used here for glorified means that Jesus will be recognized for all that He is. And we will be recognized by every living thing in the universe for the incredible beings that Christ recreates us to be. It's not that we're going to be just the bomb. I mean, we will be, but it's only because of what Christ does. You know, the universe, all reality, all living creatures will look at us and they'll see how amazing Christ is. That's immediately where their thoughts are going to go. It will be the most spectacular thing that anyone has ever experienced. We can't wrap our heads around that yet. There's a lot of mind-bending stuff to think about here, and we've really just scratched the surface. I want to emphasize that. Unfortunately, if we want to keep going, well, we got to keep going. So next time, we're going to see what else we can learn about the future in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. The Coffeehouse question this week: what do you imagine heaven might be like? What do you imagine heaven might be like? I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Hey, here's another promo from one of the podcasts at the Christian New Media Group. Check it out.
Dad, we have some questions. Why is the sky blue?
Well, the oxygen-nitrogen content of the Earth's atmosphere reflects the higher, shorter wavelength spectrum and passes the longer wavelengths of the lower spectrum to be absorbed by the ground.
Then why are sunsets red?
Oh, the curvature of the Earth means those longer wavelength spectrums still come straight across the eclipses where we can now see them.
Why is the grass green?
Because blue and red were taken.
So the reduced spectrum of the visible light combined with properties of active chemicals like chlorophyll reflects a trimming rather than variations of the extreme wavelengths?
Yeah, something like that.
Doesn't that mean solar cells are more efficient and organically based rather than silicone?
You know what? Let me go get your mother.
Did you ever stop to think and forget to start again?
Don't stop to think again. Join me, Winston Crutchfield, host of the Critical Mass podcast, over at criticalpressmedia.com. where I examine comics, catch-up, and current trends with a critical eye for conscientious coverage of crashing cummerbund. Who writes this stuff?
www.criticalpressmedia.com.
I know that I always say that I don't know what's going to be on next week's show, but I really, in addition to not knowing what's going to be on next week's show, I don't know exactly when next week's show is going to be. I'm considering at this point delaying the normal time that I would put up the podcast so that I can get the kind of get comments and have people that are at I was going to say cast party. It's mostly cast that are coming. But the CD release party, get kind of comments from them and stuff like that that I could share on the podcast so it could be kind of a CD release podcast, you know. So I may do that, or it may be a normal podcast next week. We'll all just have to kind of wait and find out. But I'm very excited because it's just days away now from the release of Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, and I am completely stoked. So I can't wait to share that with you all when it's here and ready to be shared. But anyway, that's it. I will see you guys next time. And until then, I hope you enjoy Seeking the Truth.
This is www.spiritblade.net. Your banter is awesome. Vader is a crazy freak.